Sometimes I feel like a real estate listing should have a category where it lists, you know, pool, air conditioning, fireplace, ghosts, like yes, no, maybe, something like that. Because in some of those areas, you can look like, yes, and it's a giant stone fireplace, you know, X square feet and wood burning, and it can go into great detail. And you could do the same thing with ghosts. Like, yes, three children or one old woman or whatever it may be. Dog that's haunting the house. And list it. And like, oh, okay. Then you kind of know what you're getting when you're house hunting. For some will be a big turnoff. For some will be a giant selling point. You know, everybody likes to go with vanilla. Everybody likes to do, oh, we're just going to do beige this and beige that. And it's going to be super safe. And it's not going to be uberly standing out to anybody. And it's not going to be uberly turning off to anybody. And it's like, yeah. When I've always sold houses, it was always very much stand out, be different. I don't care if I turn off a bunch of people because I'm going to be making that many people on the opposite end of that scale be so excited and happy about that house that I'm going to get offers like that. And it always worked. But I don't know if it's the case with ghosts. Probably depends on the area of the country that you live in as far as how that idea would be accepted. Some places like, oh, right, I've been looking for a house with a ghost woman in it, or I've been looking for a house with a ghost grandfather in it. You could probably make it a selling point if you really tried. I don't know, maybe. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we have two stories of two different houses. One where it seems to be a portal, things coming and going kind of at their own leisure. And another story of a house that has something that's coming and going, but has a very, very strong attraction to the female occupant of the property. There's two roommates there, one male, one female. And this thing, it likes the female. And the woman likes the ghost. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Those stories and more today on EPP bonus episode number 357 of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Why is it that some houses just seem to be a doorway, or some may call a portal, for spirits far better than others? I'm not talking the haunting of the same person that's there day in and day out, but seemingly new hauntings, new spirits, or even just ways of amplifying the spirits of those who have passed on that maybe once resided in the home, human beings or pets. When you go to another house, you don't have those feelings. You don't have that sensitivity. The sensitivity is only there in that house. And maybe it's not sensitivity, then maybe it is just the house. Maybe that house is just so strong and just so loud in terms of its spirit activity that anyone could pick up on it, whether they are sensitive or not. That seems to be what's going on in this next story of ours. A family filled with many spirits. Day after day, year after year, being haunted by the dead. Take a listen. I have a few stories to share. That's why I decided to write instead of call. All of them are from back when I was in my pre to early teens, all except one of them that seemed to rematerialize around a decade later. First one I'd like to share is not my first ghostly encounter, but is less involved than the others. This one happened while I was on a road trip with my first stepdad from California, where I was living with him that year, to Oregon, where his parents live. I was only 14 or 15 at the time, so I didn't pay much attention to what highways we were on or what towns we had gone through, so I'm not sure exactly where this happened at. We started out from 29 Palms, California, and we're going to Ashland, Oregon to go elk hunting with my grandpa. We started out in the early afternoon and drove well into the night to get there. It was just any other ordinary road trip. Only stopped for restroom breaks and gas. I napped occasionally, but not much, because I guess I was anxious to see my grandparents. Sometime late that night, very shortly after we crossed the Oregon border, I noticed a house on my right. It stuck out to me. It just seemed odd. We were driving through a dense pine area, as I recall, and this house just did not seem to fit. Well, fit is not exactly the right word, because it was nestled almost perfectly into the trees. It was dark, very slightly moonlit that night, but the house was easy to see. The house itself was dark in color and had two stories, plus an attic with windows. It seemed old, but not run down. Not that kind of old. It was set back into the trees behind a perfectly cut and manicured yard that sat the house back probably about 50 years. On either side of the yard, the trees led back in a perfectly straight line behind the house and wrapped around behind it. All that kind of struck odd to me, and I'm not sure why, but it was odd enough that I had stuck in my memory like a picture. There's one thing that really stood out among all this, a window on the second floor, close to the center, with a candle lit in it, or maybe a lantern. It was dimly lit with a yellow glow, not like that of a light bulb. I wondered about it for a little while, and then just shrugged it off as just another house after a little while. We spent a couple days at my grandparents' house and then headed back home one evening. We went back to the same route that we took up there. I only know this because we wound up going through that same stretch of trees. I normally would not have noticed that, but for some weird reason this time, I knew exactly where we were. I was watching the left side northbound of the highway to see if I could see the house again. It piqued my interest, but all I could see as far as the headlights and moonlight, which is brighter this time at night, was nothing but trees all the way down the road. And for some reason, I looked to my right, the opposite side of the highway, and there it was, exactly how I had seen it several nights before. I mean, exactly. From the tree lines to the distance from the road that it was south set at, to the one single candle-lit window in the center of the second floor. I asked my stepdad if he had seen it, but he did not notice anything. I explained the whole thing to him, and he told me that he had not noticed any of that. He was not trying to be dismissive or anything, he just did not notice it. The rest of what I wanted to share with y'all happened at a house I grew up in a small town about an hour northeast of Abilene, Texas. My first stepdad was in the Marines, and we moved around. Him and my mom discussed her and us kids moving somewhere permanently instead of moving all around the time, and they tossed around whether to live near his parents in Oregon or in Texas. They ultimately decided on Texas. This house was a decent-sized house with a long hallway down the center that ran parallel to the street that we lived on and led straight out to the garage next to the house. If you entered from the front door, there was a small foyer and then the kitchen on the right. The hallway started there. They did a 90-degree turn left after the kitchen and went out the side door. After the kitchen, before the left turn, there was a small half-bathroom, which always spooked me for some reason. I still don't know why. It was a straight shot from that bathroom doorway to the side entrance door. As you walked the hall, on your right, there was a living room door with a straight shot to the back door, then a bedroom on the left, and a full bathroom on the right, and two more bedrooms directly across from each other at the end. All the windows in the house were the older-style wood-framed windows with a metal counterweight and the wall to help lift them. And on every wall in every bedroom, there were two of these windows evenly spaced apart, somewhere between 12 to 18 inches. If you stepped out to the side door, the garage was around 15 feet from the house, with the doorway even to the side door of the house. There's one of those small windows on that side of the garage, tall but narrow, across from the last bedroom on the left. It was a two-car garage. If you were to walk in the door from the house, the main garage door was to your left and the back wall to your right. We had a washer, dryer, deep freezer, and shelving. My very first ghostly encounter was when I called the white lady. Me and my stepbrother were sitting on our beds talking. The heads of our beds were pretty much under the windows that looked out towards the garage. My stepbrother was sitting close to the window on his bed across from me as I sat on mine facing towards him. Then during our conversation, I saw a lady walk past the window behind him, but not past the partition between the windows. I quickly hopped up, not taking my eyes off the window or even blinking, and told him to turn around and look out the other window while I looked out that one. Neither of us saw anything, and she was gone. He asked what was going on, and I told him. I saw a lady, tall and slender, dressed completely in white, very white. I did not see any facial features. Her dress had a hood, and the side of it covered her face enough to hide it. But I could tell it was a lady. We both sat there, kind of stunned, but not scared. For a few minutes watching the window, and then just went on with our day. That's all I saw of her. I did not think much of her after that. Then one day, while my stepdad was home and his parents were visiting, we were hanging out in the garage. I was sitting on the deep freeze, and he was leaning against it just to my left. If I remember correctly, my grandpa was across from us in a chair. There were others out there, but I don't remember those details too well. Anyway, my stepdad was talking, and it's mid-sentence, and he just stopped. I kind of looked at him, waiting for him to at least finish his sentence, but he did not. He just stood there. And I noticed the hairs on his neck and arms were standing up, and he was looking at that window that's across from the bedroom. I leaned over and said, "You saw her, didn't you?" And he nodded, and slowly regained his composure. Those are the only two times I know of the white lady in that house, although there were one or two other times that we mentioned we could have been just made up for that person to fit in, if you know what I mean. That's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you guys want more, you want to hear the rest of the story and our second story, where is it ever a good idea to encourage or accept an intimate offer from a spirit? Become an extra podcast person. An EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories. Your support keeps us on the air and allows us to do this show every single week. You also get access to all of our bonus episodes in their entirety. Our advanced episodes delivered to you months before the release to the public, all commercial free, and the archive. You get that as well. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Thank you.